Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text 79. Krishna Partha Vupa Mantriya Puritak Prayomuni Shudva Krishna Param Brahma Partha Paramam Vishmita. Krishna, Lord Krishna, Partho, and Maharaj Yudhishthira, Upamantriya, bidding farewell, Pujita, being worshipped by them, Prayo, left that place. Muni, Narada Muni, Shutva, after hearing, Krishnam, about Krishna, Param Brahma, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Partha, Maharaj Yudhishthira, Parama Vishmita, became most amazed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni, being worshipped by Krishna and Maharaj Yudhisthira, bade them farewell and went away. Yudhisthira Maharaj, having heard that Krishna, his cousin, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was struck with wonder. Interesting, isn't it? You spend 70 years of your life with someone, one day someone says, hey, that's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No, really? Yeah, that's the guy who knows everything. There's one room I always thought he was right, whatever. After hearing the conversation between Narada and Yudhishthira, one still has any doubts about Krishna. Krishna's being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should immediately give them up. Asam shayam samagramam. Yes, I'm going to give them up. I'm giving them all up. Get away. They keep on coming back. Without any doubt and without any defect, one should understand Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus surrender at his lotus feet. Ordinary persons do not do this, even after hearing all the Vedas. But if one is fortunate enough, although it may be even after many, many births, he comes to this conclusion. Bonam janmanamante gyanamam mam prapadyate. Text 80. On all the planets within this universe, the varieties of living entities, moving and non-moving, including the demigods, demons, and human beings, were all generated from the daughters of Maharaj Daksha. I have now described them and their different dynasties. This end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 7th canto, 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. So although we have these different cantos, but this is a continuation of describing Daksha's daughters. All the different living entities generated from Daksha. I believe that began in the 6th canto. So now we've finally finished. I think I started when I came here. When you came, you were in the 6th canto, I guess. Adi Purushavam. And when I came, we started the 7th canto. So it's only taken a year and 3 months to get through the 7th canto. So at this rate, maybe we'll live to get through the 10th canto. Namo Vishnu Braya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskya Dhyade Satarane. 10th Srimad Bhagavatam, it's 18,000 verses, probably a little bit less, but officially it's supposed to have 18,000. And here we get the conclusion. The conclusion keeps on coming up again and again and again that Krishna is actually God. Now one can hear this for many, many years and think, well, yeah, I heard that before somewhere. I can't remember. Just like we heard before that we're not this body, and we hear it again and again. Why do they keep on repeating it again and again and again? Because the fact is, we haven't heard it. Why? Because more or less we're asleep. And the other thing is that we really don't want to hear this. This is the last thing any conditioned soul has come to the material world to find out. Number one, the worst thing you can find out is that he's not God. So that's a real blow to the false ego. The second worst thing is that you can't become God. That's even more torturous. And the third, the most horrible thing, is that there's already a God. Now, luckily, due to Maya, we don't hear any of these things. It goes in one, yeah, it could be true, but don't listen to it. But this is the whole message of the Gita. This is the whole message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Ete changsa kala pumsam Krishna's tu Bhagavan swayam Indrari nat vakulam lokan Indriya mridiyanti yuge yuge. That of all the different incarnations they described, which we don't believe in any of them, after all we hear about Krishna had so many incarnations, one of them was a boar. And he lifted up the earth. Of course, lifting up the earth means he lifted up Bhumandala. Lifting up this little tiny planet we think we're on called the earth is not a big deal. Lift up Bhumandala, which is thousands of hundreds and thousands bigger than what we conceive of this earth to be. I mean, that's really something. When Krishna comes and he lifts Govardhan Hill with his little pinky, people think, oh, that's impossible. Hold it up for 7 days. And when he gets into the idea that Lord Varaha, with his nose, lifted up Bhumandala, which is billions of times heavier than Govardhan, oh, that's all right. That's completely in the realm of mythology. These people are really unusual. They have a half man, half lion, killing a demon half the size of the universe, a boar lifting up Bhumandala. They have a tortoise who has an itch on his back. They take a mountain 100,000 yojanas, 800,000 miles high to scratch his back. Sure, right. And in order to do that, they have a snake. And the snake is churning this mountain, golden mountain, 100,000 yojanas high, and on one side of the snake are the demons, the other side are the devotees, and they're churning this mountain to get nectar from an ocean of milk. These people really like milk. Baby food they're talking about. And out of this ocean comes the goddess of fortune, sure, right, a horse, an elephant, so many things, and finally Kalakuta poison comes out, and Lord Shiva, of course, with three eyes, comes and drinks it. He's really thirsty. And then finally the nectar comes out, and Krishna expands himself as a beautiful woman, tricks the demons. In other words, anyone who's not Krishna conscious will think, these are nice stories, but they won't take any of it seriously. What to speak of is that the origin of everything is a cowherd boy. That's really too much. It's not a businessman. It's not a warrior. It's a cowherd boy. And he loves cows. He doesn't eat them. He loves them. He even milks them. God milks cows. The person who's the controller of everything, his main activity is to milk cows. And sometimes he takes them out to the field. So this is, for most people, this is so unbelievable that they don't even begin to believe it. So therefore, we always have to come back to the starting point again and again that our bodies are changing. Now that takes a little while. Is that true? Is what he's saying is true? Is he trying to trick me? Maybe my body's not changing. But most of us will come back, yeah, that's a fact. My body seems to be changing. It seems a little bit different than 20 years ago. But I myself within the body, I'm not changing. So therefore, there's something wrong here. What's wrong here is us. That we lack the realization, we lack the intelligence to actually understand even who we are. So if we think we're this body that's always changing, then what to speak of the rest of the reality? If we can't even figure out that fact that we're conscious living entities who don't change, that we're spiritual beings in an ever-changing world, then how can we say that anything is wrong in the Srimad Bhagavatam? What is this energy that's keeping countless living entities in all over this world that we can perceive in illusion? Every living entity, from the insects that we see to the trees to ourselves, we're all under the spell of this illusion that we're this body. So who's cast this spell? Who's controlling this? And Krishna, who's giving us the knowledge that actually we're not this body, well, maybe we should find out from him something else. In other words, our first business is to hear from Bhagavad Gita, because at least it's something within our realm of experience. Within the realm of experience, it's not within the realm of our experience, a boar lifting up the earth, or a tortoise in an ocean of milk being churned by demigods and demons who are churning a golden mountain 800,000 miles high. Or that there's a half man, half lion came and ripped apart Hiranyakashipu, and when he really got angry, he came as Lord Parasaram and moved at the speed of the mind and killed hundreds and millions, thousands of warriors in a few seconds. Of course, they could make an, and then of course we have Lord Ramachandra, who at least is a green man, who had two hands at least, two arms. It's a little bit more believable, but that he was in a forest, 14 years, mowing down Rakshashas, Trishira, who had three heads, or Karna, or Kandamba, who had a huge body, and he had arms, what is that, five yojanas long, and he was grabbing tigers and elephants and stuffing them into his mouth because he was hungry. A little bit more believable, but still, it's extraordinary. Now, of course, if God wasn't extraordinary, then how could he be God? If he was doing the same things that we were doing. If we heard, the only thing we had was God was a cowherd boy herding cows. And sometimes at night, when he wasn't tired, he'd go and dance with his friends. It wouldn't be much of a God to us. We have to find out, first of all, that we're not this body and that there's a super soul in our heart and that he's controlling our remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. and that every living entity is under the control of the super soul, and the super soul controls the movements of all the planets within our universe. That he's the fire of digestion in our heart, that these things which are in our stomach, that these things are necessary so that we get some experience of how Krishna is working within this material world. Modern society has taken people far away from reality. They actually believe, falsely believe, because their intelligence has been taken away by illusion, that they can do anything they want, and still the scientists have discovered ways of counteracting the laws of material nature. You can eat whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want, and there won't be any effect because they'll have a pill that you take and cover over all the effects. And if you get something called cancer or heart disease, it's not your fault. It was because of some vicious germ didn't like your face and attacked you. You're an innocent victim, but the heroes in our society, they'll come out and whatever is wrong, they'll cut out and throw away and replace it with a plastic one. Give you a plastic heart, plastic liver, ultimately a plastic brain. And actually they're working on that, injecting something into you so that you become half man, half machine. And the better half of you is the machine. That's the only part that really works. The other part is just kind of hanging in there. So people are actually believing all this nonsense. In other words, they think life is getting better. There's progress due to technology or whatever. And that progress is they're defying the personality of Godhead and his laws. And that as material science advances, then we'll all be connected to the Internet of Things, and therefore someone will think for you, and whatever they think for you immediately will happen. Whatever television program they want you to watch will immediately come into your brain, and you don't have to do anything, you just sit there and watch it, telling you that actually you have to surrender, but not to Krishna. You have to surrender to the people who's controlling your brain. So surrender is there. Everyone is surrendering. But they're surrendering to things which are insignificant. They're promising that we're in the future, they keep on promising even now, we have the solution to death. We're going to make you into a computer program. We're going to figure out your code, make you into a program, put you on a disk, and preserve you forever. Whenever we want, we'll play you and you'll come alive. So people believe this, and they'll actually, if you tell them that there's actually, you're not your body, your body's changing, but you're not changing, it's so foreign to them. It's so different from the way they've been trained up, that everything is made out of matter. Everything came out of nothing. Science is the only solution to our problems. So-called science. They're making progress. They're going to replace us with a machine. So this body is so fragile it can die. But we're going to make a machine made of titanium. And it's going to last for millions and millions of years. And you're going to be one of the many computer programs in this machine, and sometimes we'll let you play your thing, do your thing. So again, we have to keep on going back to the fact that we're not this body. It doesn't matter what they do externally with all their machines and technology. It has nothing to do with ourselves. All they can do is cover us over from who we actually are and misdirect us. Falsely tell us that we're going to solve the problems of disease, where they themselves are creating the diseases. They're going to solve the problem of old age, and people are put into so much fear and anxiety and stress that by the time they're 20 years old, they can't even move anymore. They're going to solve the problems of birth. They're going to stop human beings from giving birth. So because probably it will be less births, because everyone's going to come back, if they're lucky, as a dog. Maybe they'll start giving the dogs contraceptives too. They'll think, too many dogs in this world. They seem to be they're using up too many resources. Not enough bones to go around anymore. Stop the dogs from reproducing. Yeah, so dogs, to get the birth as a dog will be quite great privilege in the future. People take birth as lizards till they figure out the lizards are overcoming the earth. And what to speak of death? Now, our philosophy is that if we simply understand Krishna in truth, then we don't have to take birth again. Now, most people are not going to dispute that because they don't believe in Krishna. They don't believe that they're going to have to take birth again. They don't know how karma is working. They don't know actually not anything. And yet they're simply rewarding each other with PhDs, MDs, so many different things. They're simply rewarding each other when they actually don't even know who they are or how this material world actually works. On the other hand, if one logically follows the sequence of Srimad Bhagavatam, then one gradually will come out to become a Samshayam Samagrama. But as I said, most people will not read Bhagavatam every day. It's a great privilege to hear Bhagavatam every day. Most people don't believe, they don't even know there's such a thing called the Vedic literature. They don't know, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that our bodies are changing, but we're not changing. They don't know how the material universe, with the planets moving in their orbits, is being controlled by a person with supreme intelligence. They don't know that everything is perfectly going on and that they don't have to interfere with the material nature in order to make things better because it's already perfect. Anything that, if someone has something perfect and interferes with it, then we'll simply make it imperfect. So they don't know there's a Vedic literature. They don't know that it's perfect. They don't know any of these things. So they're completely doubtful. They're in ignorance. Agyas chastradanas cha samshayatma vinashati nanyam lokastinaparo nasukam samshayatmana. But ignorant and faithless persons, they go to ruin. They think they're great. But they go to ruin and perish for the doubting soul. There is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So we can do so many fantastic things. We can learn how to stand on a little fingernail and think that we're making great progress. Everyone will clap. Prabhupada said if you have a dog on the street and it starts barking, everyone will throw, at least in India, they throw stones at the dog. Here you get arrested if you threw a stone at a dog. No such thing in India. But generally speaking, dogs are disturbing. But if a man can bark like a dog, then they give him a great, and then they put him in the circus and people come and pay a lot of money to hear him bark like a dog. So the reality of the situation is that people don't know what reality is, and they're enamored with these insignificant things that people can do. Bark like a dog, drive a car 300 kilometers an hour, whatever, jump over. For instance, someone is jumping a high jump. They can jump maybe 2 meters or a little bit more than 2 meters. And everyone's cheering them. They give them a gold medal. They're the best in the world. But what are they doing? They're training themselves up so their next lifetime they become a flea. Why just jump twice as tall as you are? You can jump 20 times your height. And all the fleas are going, wow, look at that one. He's the best of all of them. Or a frog. You can become a frog in your next lifetime. What is the value of jumping so high? Where are you going? Is the air fresher two meters up? Take a big breath. Complete waste of time. So the whole material universe, practically speaking, is just a waste of time because people don't know what the purpose of life is or how to achieve it. They don't even know where they can get information that can help them make real progress towards liberation. So therefore, they're ignorant. And then Prabhupada writes that there are some people, they actually have faith in the scriptures. But they don't actually follow them. They know the scriptures, they read them, they can quote them, but they don't follow anything they have to say. And other people, they quote, they know the scriptures, and they follow them, but they don't believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the very idea of what scriptures are meant for. Therefore, all of them are considered to be doubtful. And all of them will neither find happiness nor peace, what to speak of the Supreme Destination. So Krishna has to repeat in his different ways, how is he the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He just says, I'm a cowherd boy in Vrindavan playing on a flute. I have four special qualities. I play on a flute. I dance with the most beautiful ladies in the spiritual material worlds. I'm surrounded by loving associates. I have unrivaled beauty. I have inconceivable pastimes. Krishna doesn't start that. He keeps on saying, you're not this body. And if you perform certain activities, karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga, then you might get some intelligence. And if you don't do these activities, then your intelligence will just be taken away by illusion, and the only thing you'll think is, I'm this body, and I have to serve my senses. Whatever my mind tells me, I must do. Whatever my senses demand, I must serve. Krishna is giving a choice to people. They may not believe in him, but still Krishna bothers to speak 700 verses in Bhagavad Gita, or the other 10 billion verses, whatever it is in the Vedas, just so he can capture some intelligence to people. You shouldn't just serve your unbridled, your unrestricted senses, and you shouldn't just follow whatever your mind dictates to you. You should try to gain some control over your mind and senses with intelligence so that your whole life is not just chewing the chewed, fanning the flames of lust, anger, and greed. Now, if someone wants to listen to that, then one can actually get some appreciation that Krishna is not just speaking nonsense. He didn't waste his time speaking Bhagavad Gita. Vyasadeva didn't waste his time reading Srimad Bhagavatam or speaking to his son about some mythological creatures, boars, tortoises, lions, half man, half lions, all kinds of creatures, just to fill up a book so some people can go and sell them, get enough money so they can get something to eat. No, one can actually have some respect for this literature, and although we're not going to understand it or even accept it, because we're not in the category of asamashayam samagram, but at least we can have some respect for it and understand that the fault is not in the literature, the fault is in our own consciousness, our own lack of surrender to reality, our causeless unwillingness to accept reality, and our rejection of what possibly could be reality in favor of the so-called reality of modern science, modern experience, which is all just propaganda for the most part. Sure, they can fly an airplane in the sky. Sure, they have computers. Sure, they have a new, you know, better programs for the telephones, for the mobile telephones. But the fact is that the phones are getting smarter and the people are getting stupider. The phones can remember everything and people can't remember who they are. So is that the purpose of life? Is to have a smartphone and stupid people? But somehow or another people become so foolish they think they're making progress when their phones are making progress and they themselves becoming more and more foolish and bewildered. So therefore, the conclusion is that Krishna Sudama Upagade Jnana Dharma Jabi Saha Kalo Nashta Dvishamesha Paranarko Dunoditaha. That this Bhagavatam has risen just like the sun, and it's full of knowledge and detachment, Dharma, Krishna Sudharma Upagate. Now that Krishna has left this planet and has gone back to his own abode, where is actual religiosity and knowledge taking shelter? So it says this Bhagavatam has arisen just like the sun, and those who have lost their vision due to the darkness of Kali Yuga, they'll actually get light from this Purana. So we have to understand that we're just like, we're in the darkness of Kali Yuga. Not only Kali Yuga is dark because of, it's always cloudy sometimes, whatever. It's, our consciousness is cloudy. And although we may not like always to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we may not like always to hear about things that for us are just like mythological, they're just too different. Just like, for instance, if you talk to people about medicine, they want to hear about an operation. They want to hear about some drug that you've taken, some pill that you've taken. And if you tell them that don't eat too much, don't eat too little, don't sleep too much, don't sleep too little, they think that you're weird. You have no faith in science. Actually, that's what they think. We actually have faith in the science. We have faith in the science. They'll take any crazy, anything that the science is labeled, stamped, this is science. They'll do it because it's stamped science. And although it may kill thousands of people, that's all right, it's science. At least science is killing them. And if they hear about, you know, control your diet, control your mind, they think, oh, this is too fanatical. These people are fanatics. They're not liberated like we are. We're free to do anything we want now. And these people are just bound by their superstition. They're just full of fear. That's why they don't eat too much or eat too little. They're afraid of getting sick, but we got the remedy. We just take a pill and it's all gone. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. First note, all syllables counted in Bhagavatam divided by 32 equals 18,000 shlokas. Now a burning question. Mother Yashoda saw the universes, Krishna and herself in the mouth of Krishna. But Krishna says in the Gita, Nacha Madstani Bhutani, the things created by me are not within me. What did she see then?
What was that about 18,032 divided what?
All syllables counted in Bhagavatam divided by 32 equals 18,000 shlokas.
All the syllables.
Divided by average number of syllables in one shloka.
Oh, okay, whatever. I won't argue about that. What did Mother Yashoda? She saw exactly what it said. She saw the universes, she saw time, she saw the elements, she saw, that's what it said it saw. And Krishna says, Mastani mani sarvabhutani nachaham te shivashitaha. Then he says, Yita kasha sito nityam vayu sarvatur gomahan. Tita sarvani bhutani mastaniti pudarya. Just like blowing in the space is air, but there's a disconnect between the air and the space. So the air is resting in the space, but the space has no real contact with the air. Nor does the air have any contact with the space. So in the same thing, everything is resting in Krishna, but Krishna is aloof from everything. So even Mother Jasoda saw all the universes within Krishna, but Krishna is not caught up in all the universes. All the universes are apart from him, although they're all resting in him. Krishna has one thing. He's dancing with the gopis and playing with the cowherd boys. He's not, you know, coughing up universes if he gets sick. Anything else? Yes. Yeah, so if you accept them as your authority, then you'll rely on them.
Yeah,
I mean, the question is whether you think, you know, you have to have someone check and see if Krishna is right.
Yes.
Because we're too complicated. Therefore, Krishna says, Sarva Dharam Prichaja, Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja. Try to have faith in me, give up all these other nonsense things. Not me, maybe not nonsense. Give up all these, try to have faith in me. I'm saying to you, your body's changing. So why don't you meditate on that? Do you believe your body's changing?
Yeah.
What about, do you remember when you were, last year, what you were doing?
No.
So why not accept that? What do you, we're already, every moment we're reincarnating. What do we have to have someone else to tell us what we're reincarnating? We already know that.
But what do I gain with doubt? Because doubt only tortures me. Consciously, I think.
If you want to hold on to the doubt, it's the example is given just like you go up to a tree and go, let me go. And someone comes along and says, sir, the tree's not holding you, you're holding the tree. Yeah. No, you don't understand. You're in your philosophy. Tell him to let me go. So we just let it go. Then we won't be doubt, you know, because we're. The real thing behind everything is that grossly or subtly we're interested in sense gratification. So we need some justification for it. So if Krishna is right, then we're rascals. And if we don't believe in Krishna, then we don't necessarily have to condemn ourselves for being rascals, for not following what Krishna says. So therefore Maya says, don't worry about it, I'll give you some doubt. Oh, Krishna is alright, he's a nice guy, but don't believe everything he says. Then we can go on with our, you know, rascal activities. Because we don't have to take it seriously. Because Maya supplies us doubt.
So actually I have some hidden or not so hidden desire, and I'm afraid that Krishna is not going to fulfill it because it's better for me, so I rather not believe so much in Krishna so I can hold on to this desire.
That's right. Whatever. You got it. Thank you very much, Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.